You are now listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm glad you've joined us today. I'm your host for today's program. This program, The More Abundant Life, features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Today we have program number 305 in our series, and we're going to get right to the message for today. But before that, we've got a short and special musical number that's going to be sung and presented by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Here it is.
Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. My God said he'd take me higher. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. He saved me from the wind and fire. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Jordan River is chilly and cold. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Chills my body, but not my soul. Walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. Walk about Zion, walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. When I get to heaven, gonna sing and shout. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord. I'm gonna walk about Zion in the morning, Lord.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. We just heard music by Wendley Phipps, a song entitled Walk About Zion, and that's from the CD release entitled Favorite Spirituals. Now here is our message for today. Here is Pastor Phipps.
If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, and verse 21. 1 Chronicles 21, 21. Bible says, and as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David and his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord, and he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. In verse 27, and the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. Brothers and sisters, perhaps like no other life recorded in Scripture, the life of David was filled with sharp agony and perplexing contrast. At times we see David scaling with dignity the heights of spiritual achievement. Other times we see David mired in guilt and shame. We see him weeping over his sins and transgressions. At times we see David on life's battlefield, a gallant, triumphant warrior. Other times we see him covered with disgrace, fleeing from the face of his enemies. The servant of the Lord tells us that worldly success and worldly honor had so weakened the character of David that David began to be repeatedly overcome by Satan. And what is most troubling about that for me is that very few people in history have ever been as spiritually prepared to meet the devil as David was. You remember David spent his early years as a shepherd boy, learning lessons of patience and humility. He spent his days praying, his nights singing. David was as close to God as a man could get, and still the devil got him. But near the end of his life, he became seduced by the applause, the praise of the nations around him. David's heart became filled with pride, ambition, and to prove Israel's strength, David began a process of numbering how many were in Israel's army. David wanted to show that the world needed to respect his leadership and Israel's army. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles that it was Satan who provoked David to number Israel. And there was nothing wrong in counting people. Are you with me today? God himself had ordered Israel to be counted before. What was wrong was the motive. You see, this time David was seeking to make it appear that Israel's army was what made her strong, not Israel's God. He was full of pride, and at that moment he was motivated not by humility and dependence upon God, but pride. You know, the Bible says, pride goeth before a fall. At that moment, David was motivated by self-confidence. He was standing in his own strength, putting his faith in numbers. My Bible tells me that God was so displeased with David that he sent the prophet to David. He said, because of this evil that you have done, I'm going to give you an opportunity to choose between one of three punishments. 3 years of famine, punishment number one. 3 months of being overtaken and dominated by your enemies. Punishment number two. Or 3 days of pestilence, plague, disease, brought on by the destroying angel of the Lord. David thought about it and he made his choice. He said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord and the destroying angel, for at least I know the Lord is merciful. Amen. Don't let me fall into the hands of man, for in the hands of men, there is no mercy. Never forget that even when men are at their most forgiving, God is still more merciful than that. Hallelujah. The truth is, were it not for the Lord, every day we would be at the mercy of men and women who are hard-hearted, exacting. People won't give you a break. God accepted David's choice of the punishments, and on that first day of disease and pestilence brought on by the destroying angel of the Lord, God sent an angel with a plague, an outbreak of disease, and on that first day, 70,000 men in Israel died. Wow! 70,000. And that was just day one. The next day, God sent the angel with a greater judgment than on the first day. And can you imagine, this time the angel's mission was to completely annihilate and destroy Jerusalem. And on that second day, as the destroying angel prepared to do his work, David lifted up his eyes. He saw the angel standing between earth and heaven, sword drawn in one hand, the other hand stretched out over the target, Jerusalem. My God. David began to cry. He said, "Lord, no, don't do it, Lord. It was I who sinned. It was I who commanded the people to be numbered. It was I who sinned and have done this evil in thy sight. Lord, don't destroy Jerusalem. Don't destroy my family. Don't destroy the people." The Bible tells us that the Lord answered and said, "Okay, David, set up an altar on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and there offer a sacrifice." David went to Ornan and said, "Please, Ornan, let me have your threshing floor that I may build an altar to the Lord." And the Bible tells us Ornan turned his head. He was perhaps a little reluctant, but when he saw that angel, sword outstretched, he said, "King, you can have my floor. You can have..." Oh, let's go to the Bible. Look at the Bible. What book did I say? 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 21. "And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor, bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. David said to Ornan, 'Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people.' And Ornan said unto David, 'Take it. Let my Lord do that which is good in his eyes. I give you the oxen for burnt offerings. You can have the threshing instruments for the wood.'" Are you with me today? That's a man who saw an angel. "You can have the wheat for the meat offering. I'm giving it to you, King. Huh? You can have it all. And this will spare our people this judgment, I gladly give it to you." The Bible says David said, "No, Ornan, I must buy the threshing floor." "But why, King? You can have it, no charge." "I've got to buy it for what? What price? What price did he say? Full price." "No, King, you can have it." And then David said, Ornan, I cannot take what is yours and give it to the Lord as an offering." I love the way the Bible says, "How can I offer a sacrifice unto the Lord that costs me nothing?" So the Bible tells us that David paid Ornan what? 1,600 pounds of gold. Built an altar, offered sacrifices to the Lord. And as David prayed, the Lord rained down fire from heaven onto the altar, commanded the angel. I'm glad God is in control of the angels. God commanded the angel to put the sword back, put that sword of judgment away. I got to tell you, when I read that word from the Lord again, from David, I read that from time to time. It arrests my attention. It captured my heart. David said to Ornan, "How can I offer a sacrifice that costs me nothing?" You know, we know very little about sacrifice today. The servant of the Lord says in the third volume of the Testimonies, listen to this, "Eternal life is of infinite value and will cost us all that we have." Woo, are you with me today? Eternal life is of more value than anything you will ever know. And it will cost you, brother. It will cost you, sister, everything. She says, "I was shown that we do not place a proper estimate on eternal things. Everything worth possessing, even in this world, must be secured by effort, and sometimes by painful sacrifice. Woo, are you with me today? She says also in the third volume of the Testimonies, it will cost us an effort to secure eternal life. You're going to have to want this thing. You're going to have to believe that you are going to work and do the best that you can. It will cost you an effort to secure eternal life. She said, it is only by long and persevering effort, by sore discipline and stern conflict, that you will be an overcomer. Oh, thank God. Contrary to what many people think, this Christian walk is not an easy journey. Self-denial is something that we all have to work on. Amen? Even small children have to work on self-denial. Amen? Into every Christian life, there will come moments of trial and intense testing, moments when conviction is strained to the limit, moments when your faith is tested, and these are the moments that will shape the character. These are the moments that reveal the character of godly men and women. Some of you have known, sometimes you will only know God when every earthly hand is cut off from you. Sometimes waiting on the Lord will test your faith. Your spirit will ache inside. And sometimes when God is silent, that's the hardest time. When you're praying, Lord, help me. Work this out, Jesus. And then he's still quiet. He doesn't move, it seems. We must believe that when these trials come, that he is proving us. Listen to this. Servant of God says, the work of pruning, of what? Pruning and purifying to fit you for heaven is a great work, and it will cost you suffering and trial. You didn't hear what I said. God is pruning you. If he didn't, you'd grow wild. So he's got to break you in this place and snap you in this place. But in all of it, he is doing a work that will cost you suffering and trial. Why? Because your will is not subject to the will of Christ naturally. So to get there, hallelujah, he's got to take you through something. He's got to take you through the furnace. He's got to take you through the fire so he can consume all the dross and all the rubbish that's in your mind and your life. Servant of God says, no cross, no crown. How can one be strong in the Lord without trials, she asks. Did you hear that? How many of you want to be strong in the Lord? I said, how many want to be strong in the Lord? Servant of God says, you cannot be strong in the Lord without trials. Woo! Why? Because she says to have strength, you must have exercise. And to have strong faith, you must be placed in circumstances where your faith will be exercised. So you're broke? That's a moment for your faith. Help me, Jesus, to be exercised. You're discouraged. Children running wild. Time for your faith to be exercised. Good works, says the servant of the Lord. Well, let me say it. She says in the third volume of the Testimonies, page 67, it is our privilege to be strong in the strength of God. I like that. God works through us, and good works cost us. But it is the very sacrifice that will provide discipline. Now, a truly Christian life will cost you thoughtfulness. If you want to be a real Christian, you're going to have to think before you speak. You're going to have to learn how to think before you talk. if you want to be a truly blessed Christian, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you thoughtfulness. Are you with me today? So you're going to have to think before you act. It's going to cost you. What's it going to cost you to live a life that is in harmony with the will of Christ? It's going to cost you thoughtfulness. It'll also cost you searching the scriptures. You cannot be a Christian if you don't pick up the word of God and study it for yourself. It's going to cost you persevering prayer. What will be the sacrifice of your life? What will it cost you? First of all, I'm going to give you three things that if you're going to be a Christian, it's going to cost you. The first is, it's going to cost your flesh. I said it's going to cost you giving Jesus your flesh. Jesus must have priority over your flesh. If you're going to be a Christian, it's going to cost you your flesh. In Luke 9:57, it says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. You see, for this man, meeting Jesus was exciting. He had enthusiasm, and he was probably accustomed to a comfortable life. He underestimated the cost of following Jesus. He hadn't counted the cost, and he said, Master, wherever you're going, I'm going with you. Jesus said, if you're coming with me, you're going to have to deny your flesh. Many years ago, Giuseppe Garibaldi, he lived from 1807 to 1882. He was an Italian soldier and hero. He devoted his life to the untiring cause of uniting Italy. His greatest victory came in 1860, when they overthrew the kingdom of Naples. And in that year, are you with me today? In that year, Garibaldi landed with an army of 1,070 men, and he went up against an army of 20,000 soldiers. Within 2 weeks, he beat the army of 20,000 with 1,000 men. And when he was asked why, how he was able to do that, Garibaldi said, when I went recruiting for soldiers, this is what I said to them. I offer you neither pay, nor quarters, nor provisions. I offer you instead hunger, thirst, forced marches. I offer you battles and death. Let him who loves his country with his heart and not just with his lips follow me. And just Jesus is saying that to you. And let you know, Jesus lets you know up front that it's going to take you a commitment. It's going to cost you something. To paraphrase Garibaldi, let him who loves the Lord with his heart and not with his lips alone say, Jesus, I will follow you. Amen. Jesus said it'll cost your flesh. Secondly, it'll cost you sometimes your family. How many of you here today, when you became an Adventist, lost your family? Sometimes it cost you your family. One man said to Jesus, Lord, I'm going to follow you, but first let me go bury my father. Let me go bury my father. And you know, it sounded like a fair request. But some commentators believe that this man was really very insincere. And here's why. Because you see, to the Jews, burying your father was a sacred duty. So some believe that when Jesus said to the man, let the dead bury their dead, that Jesus was being harsh. But some other commentators say this man was not sincere. Jesus knew the man was looking for an excuse not to follow him. So some believe that Some believe the man's father was really still living. Because if his father had just died, he wouldn't have been with Jesus. he would have been at home making funeral arrangements. Why? Because you see, to the Jews buried somebody who died on the same day. Are you with me today? So there's nothing in this passage to indicate that the father was dead or even ill. So some think the man's father was really still alive, but that was his way of saying he wouldn't follow Jesus while his father was still living because he might die. The bottom line is he put his family ahead of following Jesus. Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, Son of Man has no place. Still another man said, so Son of Man is going to cost you your flesh. You got to surrender yourself. What your eyes see, what your ears hear, help me, Jesus. You got to surrender the flesh. Another man said, I'll follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my friends. Now that seemed reasonable. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow, have mercy, and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Because just as one who plows, you gotta, when you plow, nobody's plowed here. I don't know if anybody's ever plowed here. Anybody ever plowed here? Have mercy. Somebody admits it. Praise the Lord. But when you plowed, you had to keep your face straight ahead. Because that's the only way you could plow in a straight line. If you looked anywhere else, you had to look at a point that was way on the other end and just stay with it. Amen. If you took your eyes off of that point, you end up plowing in a crooked line. So Jesus was saying, listen, you know, if you want to follow me, you got to keep your eyes stayed on me. Else you're going to end up going in a crooked line. If you want to be a Christian, it's going to cost you. Your flesh, what else? Your family, and it's going to cost you your friends. But when you get to heaven, I said when you get to heaven and you walk down the streets of gold and you say, howdy, howdy, good morning, sister. Good morning, my brother. When you get to the kingdom, you'll say, heaven was cheap enough. It was worth it. Everything I had to give up, it was worth it.
Well, that brings us to the end of the message and just about to the end of our program for today. Before we close the program, however, I'd like to let you know that you may obtain an audio copy of today's message by calling the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. And when you call, you want to ask for program number 305. That's program number 305 for today. Until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings. Remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.